started, let me tell you a funny story. Two men were walking in the woods when all of a sudden they encountered a huge grizzly bear. They froze in their tracks as the bear intently stared them down. They both contemplated what to do. And one man turned to the other and said, "I think we should run." The other man replied, "Are you crazy? You can't outrun a grizzly bear." He answered, "I know. I don't have to outrun the grizzly bear. I just have to outrun you." That actually happened to some friends of mine in Africa on safari when a rhinoceros was chasing them. And it's a pretty funny story. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul is writing to his adopted spiritual son, Timothy, that he had discipled, he had really cared for, had loved and raised up him to the point where he had really set him in as the chief leader, the pastor of the church at Ephesus, which was a dynamic church that grew from a few dozen to many thousands of people. And probably in Macedonia, when Paul's his first missionary campaign, Timothy's grandma and mother were saved, and that was the pathway for Timothy to find salvation. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Jesus Christ. To Timothy, beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace. What a great sentence. Grace, mercy, and peace. Just turn to someone and say those three words. Grace, mercy, and peace. From God the Father, and from Jesus Christ our Lord, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded it's also in you. So this is a generational blessing. Sometimes we focus almost exclusively on generational curses, but this is a generational blessing. He said, you got a triple dose of the Holy Ghost and the faith. Started with your grandma and your mother, now it's down to you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So he talks about prophecy in 1 Timothy to remember, rehearse, and do warfare by the prophecies that had gone on to you. So they had taken time, prayed for him in a presbytery, a spiritual setting where gifts were imparted. And he said this, the stuff you need, the battle you're facing today, God equipped you for it yesterday. Gifts are in you. Don't ask God to give you something new. Awaken the thing that's already in you. Your gift is key to bring you through this season. Stir it up. Turn to someone and say, stir it up. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's going to be our main text. Let me finish our context. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Paul's now in his second time in a Roman prison. This time he would end his life there. He is finishing his last letters, pouring out his spirit and soul. And he said, don't be ashamed, both publicly, they're under Roman persecution. Don't let the devil silence your voice. Don't let the devil mute your witness. For God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. Just think about that sentence. As a believer, when you close your eyes in this world, you'll open your eyes in heaven. Amen. Jesus, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, I am he that lives and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. I took them from the enemy, abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. He said, I have a proper heavenly perspective of life, that even in my worst day as a believer, it is better than my best day as an unbeliever. He said, the perspective is, I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. I know him, and I believe his promises, and I trust his integrity, and I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? Has his love persuaded you to fully, confidently, joyously trust in and believe in his promise for your life? And persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. I've got good news for you. God's going to help you finish what you've begun. God's going to help you finish your life, your race, your family, your business, your ministry, your destiny. God's going to help you. Once you gave it to him, trust him now. Be persuaded that he is able to do it. Amen. Father, we thank you today. We so love your presence. Thank you for the way you inhabited our praises. You're close to us today. I can feel you, Papa. I can feel you, precious Holy Spirit. Today I pray, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done to your beloved bride, your beautiful church, your temple, your army, your people. Thank you, God, for changing lives, for setting people free, for encouraging the discouraged, for healing the broken, for saving the lost, for talking to all of us. Anoint your servant, anoint your word, and anoint your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this because there's all kinds of little nuggets in Paul, who had a kind of type A personality. He just was the go-getter of go-getters, probably the most influential Christian in Christian history. And just, you know, all he had to do was get on the right track, and man, look what he did. So he's going for it. No, he's discipling someone, Timothy, that has a different temperament. I have a friend who's a great evangelist, really a world-class evangelist. But before he was an evangelist, he was a psychopath. So he has no fear of people. You with me? Now, I'm glad God got his gift. But his personality, before he was saved, he was a maniac. Now he's a maniac for Jesus. Okay? But Timothy has a shyer, more reserved personality. And so he's been put over this work. Then Paul leaves, and Paul then discerns the struggles he's going through. As the church blossoms, you know, everybody wants, you know, this great revival happened in Ephesus, but there's lots of people. When there's lots of people, there's lots of problems. So there's all kinds of things happening. And Paul says, I'm picking up stuff. I just want to, you know, a couple things I want to remind you of. You've got what it takes. You've got what it takes to get the job done. God would never ask you to do something that he would not first qualify you, enable you, gift you, anoint you, empower you to do. If God asks you to do it, then the gifts are in you to get it done. And he said, stir it up. Don't forget where you've come from, the faith, your generational faith, and don't forget the things God said you had. See, God will give you things in this season you need in the next season. And in the next season, when a storm comes, you say, God, help me, help me. He said, I already helped you. I gave things to you in this season. So don't forget the things God said to you by his promises, through the word of God, by the spirit of God, through prophetic ministry. However he gets it to you, don't forget it when you need it. Stir it up. Stir it up. So it's so important. Because you have already been equipped from heaven for the destiny and assignment of your life. So then he talks now. He says, no, God doesn't have fear. Fear's not from God. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. So let's talk about fear for a minute. There's a couple of Greek words for fear. One is phobios. We get the word phobia. I was going to read some, you know, different phobias to you, but there is now for every letter of the alphabet an entire long list of phobias. So people are afraid of butterflies, people are afraid of clowns, people are afraid of, you know, there's all kinds of fears. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with identifying people's fears. The problem is God doesn't want you to be comfortable with your fear. He wants you to recognize it and get rid of it. He wants you to face it. He wants you to fight it. He wants you to overcome it. And he wants you to live without it. So God has a plan for you. So he said, this Greek word for fear is the word for intimidation or timidity. He says, God's not giving you a spirit of intimidation. So whatever is trying to intimidate you, you have in the kingdom of God, God has a weaponry, a spiritual weaponry to help you overcome it. So you're going to overcome. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. So fear comes by a thought. So the battleground for fear begins in your mind between your earlobes, okay? Your mind is the battleground. Fear comes as a singular thought or a group of thoughts, and it's a thought, but when fear has a residence, it then joins into your emotions, and it becomes then a product of thought and feeling, of thought and emotion. So we feel fear. Fear is a measurable thing you can feel. People fear it. They actually, it affects their body. It affects their mind, their decisions, their behavior. So fear then becomes an emotion. So it comes to the thought. When it finds residency, it becomes an emotion. If it stays in our emotion long enough, it builds a house. A house constructed of additional thoughts and builds a permanent residency and becomes a stronghold, or as Paul identified here, a spirit of fear. So a spirit of fear is a presence of fear that continually dwells in us, occupying space and controlling our life. And Paul said, the devil doesn't have the right to control you. Fear is from hell. Fear is not from heaven. Fear is from Satan, not from God. Fear is from the fall, not from redemption. So you don't have to have it. God's not giving it to you. And if it's not from God, you don't have to keep it. Okay? So God says, I'm going to uproot. So here's how we get. God's not given me a spirit of fear, but he has given me a spirit of power. Dunamis. Explosive, miraculous power. Supernatural faculty. It's a great word. We get the word dynamite. He's given us an explosive, supernatural power. See, we don't fight fear just by getting our mind. Yes, we have to have a disciplined mind. But God says, I'm giving you supernatural agencies. My power is stronger than your fear. So God says, the antidote to your fear is power. Here's what Jesus said. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon. So we're going to talk about the power of God, the love of God. Power and of love and a sound mind. First point this morning, fear is not from God. Say that with me. Fear is, okay. Fear is your enemy. So don't learn to live with it. Don't accept its presence. Don't learn. Never allow the temporary permission to become permanent. We all go through fearful moments or seasons, but never make it allowance to have a fearful life. Fear steals, kills, and destroys. Fear paralyzes, blinds. Fear is a lie. The fear of man brings a snare, Proverbs 29 says. I love what Proverbs 28:1, it's not your notes, I'll just quote it to you. The Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursues them, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Come on, lions. Roar. Lion. So God says, in my kingdom, righteousness equates to boldness. Or fearlessness. I'm fearless through Christ. Amen? In Genesis chapter 3, this is the record of the first sin, the fall of man. So Adam and Eve eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They fall then away from God. Their eyes are open. They see themselves naked. And every day God had come, God would come to them in the cool of the day, maybe the late afternoon, early evening, and he would walk with his son and daughter, holding hands, walking in the breeze, walking, talking, loving, fellowshipping, sharing. And God comes, and they're nowhere to be found. Adam, where are you? Where are you? It's always good to know where you're at. And the Holy Spirit helps locate our emotions, where we're at. And Adam said, I hid myself because when I heard your voice, I was afraid because I was naked. So the first negative emotion recorded in Scripture because of sin is fear. The marriage of man and sin produced the child of fear. So fear is there. So God, through Christ, he forgives our sin. And then what does he do? He then liberates us from the bondage of fear. No more fear in Jesus' name. This is your freedom from fear Sunday. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that God came through Christ. Here the Bible says, insomuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same. He became what we are, human beings, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the great fear is the fear of the unknown, the fear of eternity, the fear of what's happening after our life. And so because now we belong to God, our eternity is settled. When you're not afraid to die, you become unafraid to live. Okay? So that fear, Jesus came. Okay, we overcome fear, point number two, by a revelation, an encounter with the power of God. God's not given a spirit of fear, but of power. 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 Fear is a wimpy little demon. Fear is a lying spirit. Fear is a construction of deception. And God's power is up to the task to set your mind, your soul, your life free from fear. There's no fear that God's power can't remove from your life. There's no fear the Holy Ghost power can't completely drive away from your life. God is going to help you destroy and drive out of your life these fears. The Bible says you shall receive power, Acts 1:8, after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And that power will turn you cowards into champions, you shy ones into bold witnesses. It shall make you a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Othermost, God's Holy Spirit comes into our personality and helps us change. We don't have to succumb to what we were born into, our predisposition. When you get the Holy Ghost, you become supernaturally bold. You become fearless. So God's power, the Bible says, we have overcome fear, because fear is a part of the fallen Antichrist system. But you, 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, all these renegade demonic powers, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm a fear overcomer. Amen. That's my DNA as a child of God. It is yours too. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus said, I give you power over everything the devil has. Don't live one day being afraid of the devil. God told me right now, there are people that watch demonic movies early in your childhood, and you've been tormented with dreams. And while I'm talking to you, the spirit of fear is being uprooted from your soul, and you're being set free. The Lord told me, there are people here that can't sleep. You have nightmares on a regular basis, but I curse those nightmares. I command him to leave you. He gives his beloved sweet sleep. There are people here that have panic attacks. When you become so anxious, it feels like a heart attack. Your blood pressure rises, your heart pace rises, and you feel it. But the Lord told me today was a day of deliverance from fear, wherever it is in your life. Sometimes because we've had something bad happen in our past, that bad thing is over and done, but we then interpret the rest of our life through the lens of that negative thing. So we expect things to go bad. We live in anticipation of things possibly. So fear is the anticipation of a negative outcome. Faith is the anticipation of a positive outcome, of a God-given outcome. So God's going to help us overcome fear. I said, he's going to help you overcome fear. Listen, no matter, most of the time, what fear does, probably there's different studies, from 85 to 95% of the things people are most afraid of never happen. So we kind of know that sociologically. We know that. So people's greatest fears aren't realized. But it doesn't matter. When you have the fear it's going to happen, you live as though it's already happened. You live tormented, broken, disturbed, and oppressed by it. So God's liberating you from fear. He's launching you out of the cage, the prison cell of a limitation that fear's put you in. And so your past cannot control your future. God's going to transform the way you think, the way you view, the way you move. I meet people think, well, I've been hurt in church. Who hasn't? Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, they'll hurt each other. Something like that. I think that's close. You can't let something, well, Pastor, you know, I had a marriage go wrong. God refuses to allow one bad season of your life the power to control all the rest of the seasons of your life. And the way he does it, he heals us from the pain, but he also changes our mind. He renews our mind. He frees us from the fearfulness. Amen? Anybody? Here's how my dad taught me how to ride a bike. Get on the bike. Mikey, they called me Mickey. Mickey, I'm going to push it. Now pedal real fast or else you'll fall. Guess what happened? Yeah. I fell. My Marine father said, get up. We're going to do it again. It hurts. Doesn't matter. We're going to do it to you. Get it. Pedal. You with me? Now, thank God, God's not a Marine. But God does say to us, get back on the bike. Don't be afraid. You with me? Don't be afraid that things are going to... There's a verse in Amos, an obscure little minor prophet. And it says this, affliction shall not rise a second time. I loosen your mind today in Jesus' name from the expectation of repeated negative things happening in your future. Point number three, we overcome fear by the revelation and experience of God's love. God's love. And so the Bible speaks so plainly about this. There's a great verse in Galatians that says this, faith worketh by love. You see, when you have God's love in you, God's faith blossoms through you. So the more I trust him, the more I experience the integrity of his nature, the more readily I trust his promise. 1 John says it like this, we've known and believed the love that God has for us. God, like my precious wife said, God is love, period. Yes, well, Pastor, he's also just, yes, he's holy. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He's faithful, he's powerful. There is an unending list. But God says, oh, all of those things, my love is my core value. It's the nucleus around which everything else revolves. So my justice has to first come through my love. See, the Lord is long-suffering. Why? He doesn't give people what they deserve. He gives them a chance to repent. Why? Because his justice is tempered by his love. So every attribute of God is then, God is love. You're never more like God than when you love people. Okay. And he that abides in love, he that lives a life of love, abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts fear out because fear involves torment. He that fears has not been made perfect in love. So I love this. There's a verse you will hardly hear mentioned. because it's so outrageous. There are some promises that causes religious minds to explode. When the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. Well, the Bible just, the clarity of that is simple. The Bible says, he became sin that knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When the Father looks at me, he sees me cloaked in his Son's righteousness. He sees Michael Maiden as righteous as Jesus Christ. You with me? I gotta just for a little bit press into that, because people get concerned. So someone I read this week, they said half Christians going to hell. The Bible says so. Half of Christians going to hell. And so it was a behavior-related interpretation of Scripture. So another person, I was watching a preacher, and the preacher said, you know, if you're living in sexual sin and you die, you're going straight to hell. Now, I used to be 100 pounds overweight. I'm not going to pick on anyone overweight. This guy was, while he was saying that, he's 100 pounds overweight. So he hates the sin of immorality while he's buffeting his body. Bible calls that a sin. Now, if you have a chemical, please don't write me letters. Tell me why you're overweight. I grace you out. Okay? Grace to you. Christ's name, okay? So, what about if I told a lie and made a car wreck and I die? Well, one lie annulled the blood of Jesus. See where we're going? So whenever we change grace into the law and say, well, yes, we're forgiven by grace, but then we have to maintain a holy life. Yes, we should. Grace, the same grace that forgives us empowers us to overcome sin. But never misunderstand. You're not going to heaven because you're sinless. You're going to heaven because you're forgiven. Okay? So, because, you know, I grew up in church, little boy. I probably wet my pants 5 times hearing this sermon. Someday, angry preacher, someday you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and every sin you've ever done, the whole world will watch in 3D animation. Therefore, the wedding of myself. I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm 11 years old. My friend Timmy just showed me a Playboy magazine. Now the whole world's gonna watch that magazine. You with me? Here's what God said in Micah chapter 7. I've forgiven your sin. I've buried it in the sea of my forgetfulness, never to be found again. There is therefore now no condemnation. Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, so has he separated our sins from us. So God doesn't want, the judgment seat of Christ is when I will give account for my gifts. The stewardship of my purpose, my potential, and my destiny. I'll see how much of it I fulfilled and didn't fulfill. It's not about, because the greatest sin in a church that the church is most oblivious to is pride. Pride makes people that have done nothing, it qualifies them to judge anybody. With a puffed out heart. Look at that sinful person. I wonder which is more odious. A lost sinner doing something inappropriate or a prideful believer. With their nose out, their finger out, I wonder which one has the greater impact in the heart of God. So I said those things to help you. But yes, God wants us free from sexual immorality. But please know this. Lots of people get set free through a process of time. So the kingdom of God brings change. Salvation brings instantaneous redemption to God. But then our whole life is a process of change. We overcome things gradually. And by the way, most of our sin is not things we've done, it's things we didn't do. Okay? So we want to be real careful. That's why Jesus said, when you point the finger, the law rises up against you. And it's 560 commandments. And it looks you thoroughly over till it finds what's wrong with you. It says, how can you point out their speck when there's a log in you? So Jesus said, be wary. So we overcome. Message Bible. Everyone that confesses, 1 John 4. Jesus is God's son, participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well, we've embraced it heart and soul. This love comes from God. God is love, say it with me. When we take up permanent residency in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. There's no room in love for fear. Just love the fear out of us today, God. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. So God says, so every encounter you have with God will be a love encounter. Because there's more space love wants to occupy in your life. And the more space love comes into, the less presence fear has. You with me? Because about, you know, 2/3 of so-called prophetic teaching is just fear-mongering. So people that focus, amplify, and proclaim the activity of the devil, diminish, hide, and underemphasize the activity of God. So, in this day of contrast, this is the greatest day to be alive. Thank you, 6 of you. It is the greatest day for believers. I feel the presence of the Lord. God, I thank you. There are people here today, God loves you so much. By his power and love, he today is declaring freedom, healing, liberty, and newness over your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of fear. Wherever it is in your life, I plead the blood of Jesus over you. I rebuke the torment of every lie. I rebuke every deception that's formed a stronghold of fearfulness. I loosen you from phobias, from panic attacks, from nightmares, from anxiety, from worry, from stress. None of those things are from God. You're free, free, free by the blood, the name, the glory of Jesus. I declare over you God's power, God's love. Thank you, God. Abbott and Benita, the Lord said, I'm doing a new thing. You're part of a new thing. I'm doing the earth. And people have been trying to define you and what's happening. But I've been growing you. Thank you for your great trust in me, the Lord says. Thank you for your abandoned faith. Thank you for saying no to the things that I would have you say no for. And they say, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? But I've sent a great wind. And in a sudden burst of opportunity and promotion, I'm going to move you into a different arena of life, a different experience and a different influence. And the Lord says, you're going to find things moving in your life, gifts awakening, dimensions flowing, The Lord says, I'm going to give to Adam, there's a spirit of prophecy, a spirit of encouragement, and a spirit of prophetic preaching that's going to become so powerful in you that you're not going to be, it's not going to be enough just to worship him. You're going to have to declare him. And God says, I'm going to let your gifts, all of them, blossom in the season. Identified, a great door is about to open to you. I don't want you afraid of it. I don't want you saying we're not qualified for it, or this, that's not. But God says, I'm growing you, I'm expanding you, I'm stretching you, and I'm enabling you to do things you've never done. And God says, you're going to touch more people than you ever touched. You're going to see my glory fall in a greater realm. And God says, the time is coming, it's here, when those that have entrusted me, and the Lord says, because you've walked humbly, because you've walked brokenly before me, the Lord says, I'm releasing a spirit of deliverance through you that you've never seen. Both of you, you're going to prophesy, Benita. You're going to see signs and wonders and miracles. You're going to see deliverance come to whole groups of people. And the Lord said, a great move of God is going to happen, so that worship is going to become so intensely glorious that people will forget about time and the measurements of time, and services will be entirely captured for 2 or 3 hours in these in glorious time escaping worship. And it will feel like 5 minutes, but it will be. Time will be triumphed over by my glory, my presence. And God says, you're standing there. And God says, now it's the time for me to do these things. God, thank you for what you're doing. And this beautiful couple, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you. Would you all stand your feet with me, please? I'm going to ask people today, if you've been fighting fear, panic attacks, nightmares, or a fear in your life that you know has a residency, it's no longer just a thought or no longer just an occasional emotion. It's an emotion. It's a really long-term presence. It affects your behavior, decisions. Today, the Lord told me, listen, for a month I've been praying for this service. And while I was laying before him this morning, God says, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. So God's touching people's lives today. So if you say, Pastor, I have fear in my life, I'm ready for it to be gone, I just want you to join me down front, because we're going to pray for you. And this is your breakthrough Overcoming Fear Sunday. In Jesus' name, I want to ask the church to keep worshiping while those come forward. Ask the prayer team to please prepare to help me pray for these that have come forward. Saints and angels, come on, lift your hands to heaven. Bow before your throne. We'll worship you, God.
Their crowns before the Lamb of God.
Come on.
And say,
you are worthy of it all. Come on, love on him.
You are worthy of it all.
Out loud with me. Say, today I claim my freedom as a child of God from every fear. I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to be governed by fear. But today, in Jesus' name, I claim my freedom. Thank you, God, for setting me free. By your power and love, I receive freedom today in Jesus' name. Now just keep worshiping the Lord. We're praying for people. Miracles are going to happen. Thank you, God. I'm taking out of you the fearfulness that came into you. It wasn't always there, but a flood of adversity, a flood of difficulty, and a flood of hardships. God says, I'm changing your mind. I'm changing the way you feel life. I'm going to let you dance and sing again for joy. And the Lord says, this thing that came suddenly is leaving suddenly by my power, freedom in Jesus' name. I command all fear to go. The enemy has tried to intimidate you and your family. But I've stood with you, the Lord says. My promise over you is true. And because you've hungered and thirsted as a family for the things of my kingdom, God says, I'm breaking you into a new realm. And you'll see that this season of interference was really a season of divine transportation and divine promotion. I'm promoting your family. I'm promoting you. I'm releasing you into realms of my kingdom and glory that you've longed for. I've broken it. I've silenced the roar of the enemy. I've silenced the voices of torment. And God says, I've given you a two-edged sword. I've given you a prophetic word. And what you say, I'll do. So you keep saying the things you know to be true, because I've made you to be a miracle woman and walk in miracle faith and loosen heaven and earth, says the Lord. Lama dama salama na kalama. Be free in Christ's name from all fear. Be free. I'm healing your mind from trauma, from abuse, from pain. I'm taking it out of you. I'm loving you free from things that were deeply wounding to you. I'm going to show you a freedom that you've longed for and asked me for. And God says you're going to find yourself happier than you've ever been because of what I'm doing in you now, says the Lord. I'm doing a miracle in your family. God says everything that the devil told you wasn't going to happen is going to happen. I'm saving and delivering 6 people. My promise to you is trust me and watch what I do. God says I've rebuked addiction. I've rebuked cancers and deaths. And I'm loosing my kingdom on your behalf. God, I'm the kingdom of God to you. Freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. I've set you as a watchman on the wall. I've shown you prophetic things and given you prophetic insight. And God says, get ready, get ready, get ready. The enemy who's tried to intimidate you away from your assigned place, your divine purpose and your heavenly calling, I've rebuked him, I've fought him. The enemy you see today, you will see again no more forever, for I've loosened your lives to be free. Freedom, freedom, freedom in the mighty, the holy, exalted name of Jesus Christ. I'm healing you from everything that went wrong. I'm healing you from the memory of things that were broken and disrupted. I'm healing you from the repetition of those sorrows. God says, I'm making you new from the inside out, and I'm gonna give you a hope and a faith and a joy you've never had before. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, keep worshiping the Lord, everybody. Come on, worship the Lord, everybody. Worship the Lord. Freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. Freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Oops. Thank you, Lord. I set you free. I brought you together. I made you a family. I gave you love for me and love for each other. And I'm not leaving. I'm not forsaking you. I'm not neglecting you. And I haven't turned my back on you. Trust me, because you're about to enter into a season of miracles. These 3.5 years have been hard, and God says you've been tried and tested, but now 3.5 years of harvest are coming. Believe me and watch what I do for you. I'm fighting for you, says the Lord. God, we worship you and praise you. I declare freedom, freedom, freedom. Come on, keep worshiping, Lord. You're worthy of it all. Come on, lift your hands. You're worthy of it all. Freedom. In the name of Jesus. Freedom. And to you are all things. You are worthy of it all. Come on. Come on, stay connected to God. You're worthy. You are worthy of it all. Thank you, Lord.
You are worthy of it all.
Thank you, Jesus. Everything's changing. Everything's turning. Everything's adjusting. I'm changing things for you. I'm turning things for you. I'm adjusting things into my purpose and will. Because you stood. Now God says, I'm taking out of you sadness. I'm taking out of you fearfulness. And the Lord says, you're going to run fast into my purpose and plan. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You guys married? Engaged? Congratulations. Lord bless this precious family. I've called you to be a leader. I've called you to be strong. The Lord says, thank you, son, for hearing my voice. Thank you for opening your heart to me. Thank you for seeking my will. Thank you for opening the door to the things I would do. And God says, I'm going to fulfill my promise. I'm giving you a generational blessing this day. The unfinished business of your family, I'm anointing you to go and do what needs to be done. Victories that will be won. Breakthroughs that must come. And God says, I'm taking out of you the fearfulness of things that went wrong. In both of you, I heard the Lord say, it's not just a new season, it's a new beginning. I'm going to give you, the Lord says, daughter, a deep faith and a deep persuaded trust that I'm in control. Trust me and walk with me. People would never know by how you act and look what you've been through. But the pain you've been through and the trauma you've been through, I'm taking out of you, the Lord says. I'm healing you from the great and deep wound. I'm healing you from the abuse of another, the neglect of another. And I'm loosening you to be free. Free for the life I've called you to live. Thank you, God. Come on, worship the Lord, everybody. You deserve the glory. Come on, come on, keep worshiping the Lord. God, we worship you and praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for your hand upon me. Thank you, James. Thank you for blessing you. The Lord says, I have wonderful things for you. I have great purposes for you. I have heavenly destinies for you. And I'm freeing you from the pain. I'm freeing you from the agony you felt. I've given you a sensitive heart to feel things. And God says, I'm not going to let the enemy hurt you by the things you feel, but you're going to feel my spirit, my kingdom, my love, my grace, my goodness. You're going to feel who I am. I'm going to show you who you are. I'm freeing you from everything that's tried to hurt you, harm you, control you, and bind you. And God says, get ready. You're going to grow. Grow like a great oak tree. Grow into an expansion of influence, blessing. I'm giving you big dreams, and I'm shaking off of you the things the enemy tried to do to you. Freedom's coming. Freedom's yours. Freedom's my gift to you. Says the Lord. God bless your son. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, God. Come on. Day and night.
Day and night. Night and day, let incense rise.
Day and night.
Day and night. Night and day.
Come on. Listen to God.
Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. take.